So my title tonight, and it's not up there, is Just Around the Corner. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's just around the corner. It's just around the corner. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 5, and we're starting verse 1. Now, I do have a Christmas message tonight, and I will as next week as well. Just to let you know, it's not really going to sound like Christmas for a little while, but turn to your neighbor and say, that's okay. It's okay. We're going to get there in the end, okay? We're going to get there in the end. So it may not sound like Christmas to start, but we're going to get there. John chapter 5, verse 1. Where Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days, and inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, they laid on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he'd been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. When it's stirred, someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that mat." So we break down this story tonight. We're going to break down a few different things, but it's really just to paint a big picture of where we're going. Because it's all about where we're going, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about where you're going. So the story tonight picks up, and there's a pool party. How many of us love pool parties? Aren't they fun this time of year, right? Woo, let's go pool party. And where these pools were, there was 2 20-feet-deep pools, and if you put them together lengthwise, it's the size of a football field. So you could have a really nice pool party. It said that all the disabled people, they hung out there. And they hung out there because they felt like at times there would be like an angel or maybe aliens, and they would touch the water. And when the water would bubble or when the water becomes stirred, the first person who got in the water, that person they would believe would get healed. And so all the disabled people, it says all the paralyzed, the blind, and the lame people, people couldn't walk, people couldn't talk, they all hung out there. And one of the things I want to bring up is, you know, and obviously they hung out at this pool for a reason because they wanted healing. But how many of us know that people hang around certain people, all right? If we have friends, we normally hang around our friends, right? It's just a normal part of life that there are cliques, right? There just are. There are cliques. Hurt people hang out with hurt people. Fearful people hang out with fearful people. Insecure people hang out with insecure people. Manipulators, they like to hang out with those they can control. And in this story, this setting, disabled, they hung out with the disabled. Hurt people hang out with hurt people. Hurt people tend to hurt other people. It's just natural. Jesus sees this man, and he knows how long he'd been suffering, but he says to him, you know, "Would you like to get well?" And the man says, "I would, but no one's here to help me. No one's here to help me." And I like how he said, "Do you want to get well?" Because there's sick people who want to be sick because they like the attention. I mean, look at our world today. And I'm not saying that sickness isn't real. It's not what I'm saying. But sick people sometimes tend to take sickness too far because they like the attention. Now, I'll be honest, I'm a man, and I love my wife's attention. So if I'm going to get sick, of course I'm going to milk it because I like my wife's attention, right? And there's times where, you know, yes, I will throw pity parties. I will do whatever I can sometimes to get my wife's attention. Yes, I'm 43, and I still admit it, right? It's okay because I like my wife's attention. But some people in our world, there are people who take things too far. How many of us have realized that? Some people take things too far. And being sick is one of them. Sickness is a normal part of life, right? We do get sick at certain times of year. It just happens. And so I just want to encourage you, as Jesus asked this man this question, "Do you want to get well?" I think it's an important question because there's a lot of people that we know who they don't want to get well. They like the intention they're getting from what they have. So some people will use what they have as a crutch, and every single day, they don't have no desire to get well. They get money, they get dinners, they get this, they get that. They enjoy the sickness because for them, it's not one crutch, it's 2 crutches, and they're having a blast. And so I think that's why Jesus asked this man, "Do you really want to get well?"
And the man says, I do. No one will help me. And that's a bigger tragedy, right? Because we do have in our world today millions of people who are looking for help and they can't find it. There are people who are crying out for this man in this story, 38 years. And remember, he's at a pool. So I'm sure he's enjoying the sun. They're probably trying to throw a beach ball around if they can, right? They're trying to have a good time. But they're really there because it's a competitive race. And who can get in that pool as soon as they see the bubbles, as soon as they see it stirred? 38 years of waiting. He says, there's no one to help me. I have to wonder, what he's really saying is, no one's really listening to me. No one really hears what I'm saying. And we do have a lot of people in our world today who talk, but they feel though, even though they're talking, no one understands a word that they're saying. There's so many hurting people. There's so many hurting, lost people today. And they're not like this man who's disabled and paralyzed, but inside they are. And they're crying out, and they're asking every single day. And I think in this year, the COVID stress and everything else, there are more than ever. There are kids who don't really understand the moment that we live in. They don't understand, well, how come they really can't go back to school? How come they can't do this? How come they can't hang out with this person? So many different age groups, right? So many different people, so many different feelings, and so many people saying the same thing. I'm talking, no one's listening. No one's listening. So he says to Jesus, I would love to get healed, but no one can help me. 38 years. That's a long time to wait, wouldn't you agree? You know, I don't know if you remember being a kid at school and your parents were ever late picking you up. And how many of us as kids, and it wasn't that far that we were kids, right? So we can remember just like yesterday, sitting there waiting. It's like, I should have just took the bus. I would have made it home by now, or I could have ran home and made it by now, right? Have you ever been waiting for a ride and it seems like it's hours and hours and hours, right? Isn't it tough to wait on people? Isn't it really, really hard when you're like, you are raring to go, you're ready to go here, you're ready to go there, and there's always one person. They're lazy or a procrastinator, whatever they may be. And they're holding up the whole train. The train is ready to go. But no, someone's holding them up. For 38 years, this man waited, hoping one day. And I wonder, how do you get up every single morning for 38 years having the hope, maybe today will be the day? You see, our world today, there's so many people who have no hope at all. And it wasn't 38 years. It's 8 months. It's not 38 years. How quickly we as people lose hope today. How quickly as people we lose love today, right? It's like you, never mind. But we lose quickly. We do as people for some reason today more now, everything is accelerated, right? Maybe it's because we drink Starbucks and we don't do fast food. We used to do fast food, right? That was the old days when we ate junk food, but now we're into healthy stuff like Chipotle and those healthier places, Panera. How many of us, we've trained our lives to be so quick? Waiting, listening, it's not really a thing we want to do. And how many of us, even in our 30s and 40s here tonight, how many of us still have no patience? Still have no patience just to sit, wait, and listen. And I have to think for this man, and it's really, really important to get into this head of this guy. 38 years. No one's helping me. No one's listening to me. I'm still going to give it one more shot. And I wonder tonight, how many of us God's saying, stop saying no, start saying yes. How many of us God's saying, listen, you sound so hopeless. And what I love about the Bible, if you read King David, we know he was crazy, right? He was awesome. He probably had long hair, beard, probably had a bone that he carried around because he didn't have a sword. He had a sword, but, you know, I'm sure he had all the cool weapons and toys, and he, you know, beat up a lion, killed a lion and a bear and a giant, all those things. But have you ever read the Psalms? He bawled like a baby all the time. He cried, and he would cry out to God. And I love how if you read the Psalms, there's times where he's, God, you know, those guys over there. But by the end of the psalm, he turns around and he's praising God. You know, so he takes his frustration, the hopelessness, and he takes his depression, and he takes his loneliness, and he takes his anger, and he takes everything that's inside, and you can see it turn and twist as he's just worshiping. He just had a harp. He just had a stringed instrument wherever he was. But every song, you can see the beautiful moment where he was hopeless at times. He was depressed at times, but it turned as he worshiped God. For this man in the story tonight, 38 years, and I know for most of us in this room, would not wait that long for one thing. Because most of us in this room were impatient. This guy, I think he lived a silent life. And even though it's said that there was disabled people there, even though there was other blind people there, and even though there was other people who they hung out together every single day, I think for this man, and I feel for this guy, because I think he lived a very silent life. I think he talked. I think he tried to smile and put his game face on when he could. I'm going to get there today. I'm sure they made bets in the morning. You know, whoever gets there first gets the chocolate donut with peanuts, right? I'm sure they tried. But I can see from that one line that no one will ever, ever, ever help me. It describes his heart. And it's a silent life. And I wonder today how many people feel that they're living in this silent life. That though there's noise all around us, there's noise everywhere, there's busyness and there's noise, and this is the season of busyness. Even though the world's going to end next week, Walmart is still packed, and people aren't buying just supplies, they're buying toys of all things, right? So even though the world's coming to an end, Santa is still working overtime, right? Because it's a busy season. But even in this busy season, I wonder how many people feel like they live in a silent life. It's silent. And I wonder how many people are taking a step back and saying, God, are you really here? And God, how come, God, you're not really responding the way that you should be right now? And I wonder, God, how come you're not zapping this person? Because he definitely deserves it. And she does too, right? I wonder how many of praying, God, you seem so quiet. This year has been so crazy and so hectic and so out of control. And it kind of reminds me of a different time period. So from the end of the Old Testament, I mean the New Testament, there's a 400-year period of silence. Prophets weren't prophesying. It's quiet. God was silent for 400 years. So unique in this 400-year period, there was political change, there was cultural change, there was power change going on over and over and over again. And so much in that 400 years, when God did speak, everything had changed in those 400 years. The culture, the language, and even the religion and how they wanted to worship God, everything had changed. So during this silent period, there was no scriptures being written. There was no prophets of God who were prophesying. 400 years of silence. And we think back to the first story. There was a man who was living a silent life 38 years. In this period that we're going to next, 400 years of silence. There was major changes everywhere in 400 years. Massive political changes. Massive political changes. So many different men taking power in the reign and killing other people and taking over. And big cultural changes and religious. Does this sound kind of a little bit familiar? You know, there was 400 years of silence then, and so much happened in that time. If we look back in just this year alone in 2020, a lot of the things that happened in this 400-year period we're seeing today. There's political changes, right? There are cultural changes, correct? There's power changes, yes. There's kids who are learning new languages, right? We have no idea what sometimes they're saying. We have to ask them, can you clarify? Sick, right? All those dumb little words that they say. It's like, I have no idea what you're saying. Slow down. Language is changing. People are changing. This 400 years of silence, me, it's very familiar to this year in 2020. And I wonder how many kids who've gone to church most of their life are saying, God, where are you this year? God, where are you? God, there's more stress at home. God, where are you? God, I can't see my best friends, well, all two of them, as much as I wanted to. God, where are you? God, I can't see all the cute boys at school. God, where are you? You say amen, Shiloh? You better not have. You're in school, so. But maybe there's no cute ones there. There's not. How many of us, through every single age group, everyone's asking, God, where are you right now? It seems silent. Even though in this time period, the 400 years, it said that there's not a God's prophets and that there wasn't prophecy. But I think that there, you know what I think there was? I do think there was some false prophets. Because in this year alone, and I'm not knocking, there's a lot of good, godly people out there, but I think they are giving the wrong word for today. I think there are many men who have their heart is, they're trying to be right, and they're trying to say things, but they're not really hearing God correctly. We have to be careful. The Bible says, you know, false prophets are people who prophesy what they feel, what they want, and if it does not come true, then it's not from God, right? And there are a lot of people out there who sometimes we have to be careful because, you know, we are people, and we have feelings, and we have emotions. And I'm not saying that the people who are prophesying, a lot of the prophets today are false. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think that there's something that they're missing. And in this time period, I know that there was false prophets who were saying things to God's children, to the Jewish people, just like there are people who are saying stuff today. Because it's so easy for Christians, it's so easy for us to get our eyes off what God wants us to do. And so sometimes when we're not careful, when we're not in the Bible and reading what God is saying in here, even though it was written a long time ago, if we're not in there or not reading what it says, that this is for me today, I need this. It's food for my heart, mind, and soul. It's food for everything that I need every single day. It's more important than bread and eggs and coffee. Coffee's important, but it's more important than coffee. It is more important than steak and eggs, and it's more important than burritos, and it's more important than our favorite food. We have to have the Word of God today more than ever. And if we're not reading, and if we're not soaking in, if we're not fully grasping truth, then it's become real easy for people to believe lies. And there's a lot of people who believe lies today. There's a lot of good people saying a lot of good things. I just think some of them aren't right. And that's just my opinion. After 400 years, finally, of silence, God speaks. And I love some of the first words that happen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. This is how Jesus was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. After 400 years, God speaks. And actually, he speaks to Mary first, but I decided to use Joseph, right? I'm a guy. Go with Joseph, right? But he speaks to Mary first, but I decided to go with Joseph tonight. And I did for a certain reason. I love how when God speaks after 400 years, this first miracle is a baby. Woo! Don't we all love babies? Yes! God speaks to Mary, and he speaks to Joseph. You know, you can see instantly how Joseph was picked to be the stepdad of Jesus Christ. Because when he finds out, this is his wife. This is even though they had not been married, engagement is very serious. It's something that's taken very serious. You had to get a divorce from engagement. So in this time period, you know, getting engaged and then married is serious. It's a serious deal. People exchanged money, you know, for her and this and family and dad, make everybody happy, right? Just, ooh, it's good. It was a serious deal. And as Joseph finds out, this is the love of my life. This is the girl that I'm going to spend the rest of my life. She's pregnant. How many of us, like, I am out of here. This isn't mine. I am gone. But I love what it said, and this shows the character of this man. He was going to break the engagement, but quietly, because he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. And our character speaks loud and clear of how we talk about other people. Joseph, think about this again. They weren't boyfriend, girlfriend. They were engaged. This was serious. So she's pregnant. He's not mine. I'm going to get quiet. I'm not going to make a spectacle of her. I'm not going to put her down. Even though she did wrong, this is before the angel speaks to him. So he has no idea what's going on. But I'm sure as a guy, he's got 30 million things running through his brain. You know, I'll kill the guy. I'll blow out his legs, you know, and then I'm going to get rid of her. Whatever's going through his brain, right? It's going on and on and on. But his character, to me, speaks so loud and clear. We today, we have to be careful how we talk about other people. Because if we say anything negative about anyone, whose character is on display? The person you're talking about or yours? And if you are being a negative Nancy, if you're being someone who's constantly talking negative about other people, then it shows the flaw in your character, not the people you're talking about. I can see Joseph in this story, and he was picked as a righteous man just in this one line because he was not going to make her. He could have had her killed. He could have gone to the religious leaders and said, look, she's pregnant, and it's not mine. Let's get rocks and let's kill her. He could have had her stoned to death. He's going to do it quietly because he didn't want to embarrass her. You know what's sad today? Many of us as Christians, we are putting other Christians down. A smile on our face. Smile on our face. Our character today, for a lot of us, it's just sometimes flawed. Because why would we talk about another brother or sister in Jesus Christ? Why? God is the light of the world and he's shining through our hearts, but all we want to do is complain about somebody else? Put us here, and now more than ever, we have to lift one another up. You need to inspire your brothers. You need to inspire your sisters. If they have weaknesses, it's not your job to hang them up like dirty laundry all over the place, right? If your brother or sister has weaknesses, it's not your job to get on the phone. And these things make it way too easy, man. We can text the whole entire world. You know what Johnny and Sue did last night? You know who boo 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 did, right? All these different things, man. We can just blast it on Facebook. We could put it here. We could put it there. Christians, does God really want you to talk about other people's weaknesses? Or does he put you here to help other weak people become strong? Be careful. Joseph was a man of character, and that's why I picked him tonight. God speaks, and he says to Joseph, this is the second message after 400 years. Do not. This is me. Holy Spirit, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. He will be the Savior of the world. Think about that for a second. And I know Mary's already in the moment, but now Joseph is brought into this moment. We're going to be parents, not only parents, but God is asking me, the father. God's asking me to take care of this baby that's coming. And he's the Savior of the world. The pressure. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, which is God with us. This is a very important time of year. It's important. And it's important that people know why to celebrate. And it's important that we talk about Jesus. It's important to know that we have to today, more than ever, we have to press into God. We have to see God. We have to be careful. You know, sometimes, you know, there are people who like to speak on other people's behalfs. And as Christians, we speak on God's behalf. As God speaks to us, we speak. But sometimes, some of the messages today that are being spoken, they're not God speaking. And I really feel in my heart, just like in this two stories that we shared tonight, the first one was a man who waited 38 years for his miracle. 38 years in waiting. And for the Jewish people, as they sat back and they saw politics change 400 years, they saw family members change, they saw the culture change, they saw religion change, I know they had to sit back and say, what is God doing? And just in like us in this time period, many of us are saying the exact same thing. God, what are you doing? God, why does it seem silent? So many people, they're trying to do so many different things. God, but why does it seem silent? God, what is going on? So God told me to tell you tonight, is he's just around the corner. For the man who waited 38 years, he got his miracle. And for the Jewish people, waiting 400 years, waiting for what was going to happen next, God sent his son. Show a video.
Get the band back together. Get the symphony. Get the children's choir. Get the high school marching band. And the dancers. Don't forget the dancers. We're going to play a new song. All of us. Everyone. This will be God's song. It's part of him, and it's been given to us. And we will sing it from the tallest buildings. It will be the greatest song of all. We will sing it when we are low. We will sing it when we are on a mountain. It is a song of the universe, from its beginning to the present moment. Now, this moment. And it will go on forever because God goes on forever. This is God's song. God the creator, God the good, God the just, God who brushes his opposers off like dust from his shoulders, God the mighty and God the merciful. People will sing this song. People will dance to this song. No critics allowed. They will be stopped dead in their tracks. Their words will be turned against them because today, we will sing. Today the baby is born. Today the angels break forth. Today darkness cowers in the corner. Today wrongs are righted. Prophecies are fulfilled. Wounds are healed. The hungry stomachs are filled. Today we all get adopted. Today Jesus comes to earth. Yes, Jesus, the Messiah. And this is the song we sing. This song will heal the world. This song is the song of our Savior. He is born. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is born.
One of our favorite verses of all times for most of us, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. Not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. God loves the world. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves through the silence of this year, through all the changes that are happening, through politics, through culture, through every single thing that's happened this year, God loves the world. God gave his Son. We need Jesus more than ever. Our neighbors need Jesus more than ever. Our friends, our family, the strangers, the homeless in this town, this community, everywhere we go and everything that we do, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Let's pray. Stand with us. We're going to close in a song. We're going to pray first. Stand with us if you're able. So tonight as God gave me this word, I was praying as I was seeking his face. You know, he told me that there's been a lot of silence, but something is around the corner. That is the title of my message today, is around the corner. And no matter what's going to happen, there's so many speculations and so many different things about what's going to happen next. We as Christians have to keep our eyes fixed on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens, no matter who takes over, who doesn't take over, no matter what happens next week, no matter what happens in the next 2 weeks, we have to keep seeking Jesus. We have to keep going after him.
We have to keep praying. We have to keep pressing with everything that's within us. Like the man, 38 years, every single day, waking up and saying, today is my day. Jesus, today is the day. Today is the day. There's going to be hundreds of people saved. I'm going to go out and I'm a witness. Jesus, today is the day you're going to use me to heal other people. Jesus, today is the day that you're going to use me to give hope to the hopeless. And Jesus, today is the day. It is our time, and it is your time today in this season to keep our eyes focused, not consumed with worry and doubt and confusion and anxiety. We have to push all that back, and we have to keep pressing into him. And God, we come to you tonight. God, and we are looking, God, to you for what's around the corner. God, and nobody else. God, we're looking to you. And God, we're going to seek your face. And God, we're going to pray. And God, we're going to worship. God, and we're going to pray some more. And then we're going to worship some more. And then we're going to open up our Bible some more. God, just to see what is around the corner. God, it may seem that it's been silent, but God, your answer is just around the corner. And healing is just around the corner. God, that your answer, that you're about to speak, and something's going to happen around the corner. God, but for us, help us all to keep our eyes just fixed on you and nothing else this season. And so, God, we surrender all of our stresses, all of our anxiety. God, all of our doubts, all of our worries, all of our fears. God, we just surrender everything. God, I pray that you would be our shepherd. Not the TV, not the media, nothing. God, you are our shepherd. Lead and guide us. We are your children. God, we are your children. God, we are your sons and daughters. Lead us. God, guide us. And yes, speak to us. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.